Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., excuse me, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is March 2nd, 2026. Today, we're reading from the Big Book in the chapter, There is a Solution. We are on page 22, and we're going to read the first paragraph, which begins with, this is by no means a comprehensive picture of a true alcoholic. And we're going to read two paragraphs today, ending with, he still sometimes displays with respect to other matters. We're going to comment on both paragraphs today. Our readers are Carrie W. for the 12 Steps, Robin P. for the 12 Traditions, Alice G. will read and comment on our paragraph, on our reading. Penny L.C. will read page 164 for us. And we have newcomer greeter Alex K. and announcements with Shelley E. The reference number for yesterday's special edition for Sunday is 23247. That's 23247. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 23248. That's 23248. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, a political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to compulsive overeaters who still suffer. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery, and I will now ask Carrie W. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Carrie W. from California. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, we humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, we made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, we continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Carrie W. And Christine is going to read, is going to read the 12 traditions. Christine, are you here? And can we have the first initial of your last name? Okay, I thought there might have been a problem with her checking in. So Robin P. is going to read for us. Thank you so much, Robin.
Yep. The 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm Robin P. I'm a grateful recovery compulsive overeater in Franklin, Tennessee. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. For a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsively overeating. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never to be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, TV. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Robin P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 22, and we're going to read the first two paragraphs, and I will ask Alice G. to please begin reading for us.
Good morning. Alice G., recovered compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. This is by no means a comprehensive picture of the true alcoholic, as our behavior patterns vary, but this description should identify him roughly. Why does he behave like this? If hundreds of experiences have shown him that one drink means another debacle with all its attendant suffering and humiliation, why is it he takes that one drink? Why can't he stay on the water wagon? What has become of the common sense and willpower that he still sometimes displays with respect to other matters? When I was in the food, I asked myself that question many times. Why is it I can't get abstinent? Why is it I want to get abstinent and I just can't? And I would listen to Vision for You. I would listen to podcasts. I would try to get it through osmosis. And I believe for me anyway, until the food had done its job and I had been beaten into a state of reasonableness by compulsive overeating, I couldn't surrender. I had to be beaten into a state of reasonableness. I had to figure out that my way did not work anymore. My trying to get up in the morning and thinking today will be the day I'll get abstinent. I'll take my vitamins, I'll drink my water, I'll find the right sponsor. I probably went through 17 sponsors before I finally surrendered and was willing to really hit my knees, put my hands in the air and say, I am done. Tell me what to do. I will put my food on the scale. And I will commit my food every day. And I will call other people in program because it's a we program, not a me program. I had to surrender. I had to surrender my way and my will to the unity of this program, that we need each other, and that I can't put certain substances into my body. That was another surrender, that I couldn't eat certain foods. I couldn't have sugar. I couldn't have high volume or flour or gravies or all those things that that triggered the allergy in my body and set me off, set the ball rolling again. So people helped me to identify. People helped me learn how to weigh and measure and to be patient. People set examples for me in this program. I didn't have common sense and willpower when it came to the food. I needed help from you guys. And I'm so grateful I don't have to live like that anymore. I don't have to live hiding out in the pantry or in the basement or driving through those fast food restaurants and being ashamed of my behaviors. I can be a part of this program and walk today with my head held high and keep working the steps. And the surrender comes in other areas too of my life. Surrender with family, surrender with trying to force my will upon them that they're not asking for help, you know? So I'm really, really grateful for this program, grateful for continuous abstinence, and that I can turn my will and my life over to God today and try to serve God to the best of my ability. So thank you for having me. Grateful to hear everybody else. I'll pass.
Thank you for serving today. We so appreciate it, Alice G. Okay. So we value everybody's experience. We do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you would like to comment on page 22, the first and second paragraphs, please press star 1 to unmute and we'll take a lineup.
Elena, Veronica B.
Gayla.
Okay, I heard Elena, and was it Kayla?
Gayla S.
Gayla S. Okay.
Veronica B.
Robin P. In Franklin.
Veronica. Veronica.
This is Ronnie B. in Missouri.
Robin P. And who was that in Missouri?
Ronnie B.
Ronnie B. in Missouri.
Bruce
Luann
C.
Florida.
Sally A.
E. Luann C. And Sally A.
Thank you, Elaine.
Deborah G. Deborah G. I'm pretty confident I missed somebody here. Let me tell you who I've got. Ellen or Elaine C., Gayla S., Veronica B., Robin P., Ronnie B., Bruce E., Luann C., Sally A., and Deborah G. Was there somebody that I missed in that lineup? Okay, great. So, Ellen C., please share with us, and you'll be followed by Gayla S.
Good morning. My name is Elena C. from South Carolina. So I appreciated the first paragraph because I consider myself very different from what I hear in these rooms, but not necessarily. Some people could identify with me or identify with them. The disease of compulsive overeating did not kick in for me when I was younger. I always had a sweet tooth, but I binge uncontrollably later in life. After my 30s, in my 30s and in my 40s, my 40s became unbearable. And a lot of people here, you know, they have this disease when they were young. And, you know, our eating patterns vary a lot. However, what I had in common with everyone is the lack of willpower, loss of control over my eating, and the phenomenon of craving, which I learned about in the first, in doctor's opinion of this book. And until I learned that, I totally asked myself this question from paragraph 2. I also blame myself for it. I feel bad about myself. I'm like, goodness, you know, I'm a bad person. Look at what I'm doing. Then when I learned about phenomena craving, it was just such a relief that it totally was not my fault. I was born this way. I was born with an abnormal reaction to sugar and sugar substitutes. And, you know, and I totally was able to allow the energy of my higher power to kick in through working on the steps of recovery. Without that, eating like crazy was, even if I was in Al-Anon, you know, and I did have a higher power, but I was eating like crazy and I could not, the energy of my higher power did not settle in fully with me. And I was still prone to character defects as well. And so I'm grateful today that I have the answer to these questions and I have God of my understanding and I have myself for who I really, God made me be, which is, you know, kind and loving and compassionate and forgiving. And I want to stay this way. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Elena C. Sorry for getting your name wrong. Okay, Gayla S., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Veronica B. Please share with us, Gayla.
Good morning. You can hear me?
You sound great.
Wonderful. Wonderful. This is Gayla S. Thank you so much, all of you, for being here, those of service outwardly and those just by your presence. I'm grateful for the big book, these two paragraphs. The big million-dollar question, why does he behave like this? And why does he do it over and over and over and over and over? So I've been in the program over 35 years, and why? Why? I have discovered the reasons why for me personally, and of course the doctor's opinion, the craving and the mental twist. It took me many, many years, actually up until last year, I was not willing to admit that I was just dishonest. I believed the mental twists. They were just outright lies that I told myself. One was that I wasn't as sick as others. One was I was not honest. I really didn't want to stop eating compulsively. I wanted my cake and eat it too. I wanted to. I just wasn't ready. Just wasn't ready. The gratitude I have today is that I stayed in the program. I kept coming back. Some periods of time I did not actively make myself present, but I did through those many years. I kept coming back. I finally recognized that I was a liar, and I had to stop lying. I lied to sponsors. I lied on outreach calls. I lied to myself. That first compulsive bite, I remember talking to a friend, and we compared ourselves. If we were at a party and we tucked a cookie in our purse to take home, I had my mind on that cookie the whole time before I left that party, and as soon as I got in the car, that cookie was in my mouth. For her, she would actually forget the cookie was in there and clean out her purse later and find it a week old. So we were very, very different, and we laughed about that. I remember standing at an island in my sister-in-law's kitchen eating an take that first little M&M with a peanut in it, and I couldn't stop, and I said, I don't know why I keep eating these, and my husband said, just stop, and I could not stop. I literally could not stop. So So I definitely have the craving. Why? No one knows, as this paragraph says. I just did. I had the craving and I had the mental twist. And now, one day at a time, I am beyond the lying and I am beyond the first bite. And I report everything to my sponsor that I eat that's unusual, out of line, not weighed and measured, and that kind of thing. And that works for me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gayla S. Veronica P. I'm sorry, Veronica B., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Robin P. Please share with us. Veronica?
Hi, good morning. My name is Veronica B., like boy, recovered in Los Angeles. And thank you for your service this morning. You know, for me, I came into OA in 09. And for me today, the why is not important. For me, what's really critical and true is that for me, I have to be honest with myself. And I ate and threw up for 15 years, and that's enough evidence for me to know that that is not normal, okay? It is not normal to, you know, when I have a problem or when I'm restless and irritable, discontented, that I think about, oh, the food will fix that. I know what that'll take, you know, what will take the hurt away. That kind of thinking is not normal, okay? And so for me, the why is not important. And I know for me, I suffer from the allergy of the body, but more importantly, I have an obsession of the mind. I have a broken mind. My thinking is broken, okay? My thinking says that food will fix that. Food will take the hurt away, okay? I had to replace that thinking with God. I had to replace that thinking with commitments in OA. I had to replace it with honesty. I had to replace it with picking up the phone when I didn't want to pick up the phone. I had to replace it with action. Action that would lead me to God-centered thoughts, God-centered actions, God-centered, you know, breath. This program is a spiritual program. I had to change everything about me if I wanted to stay recovered and if I wanted to stay, you know, I'm in God's path. It's practicing, practice a different way of living. And I get to learn that different way of living through working these steps and then living these steps. It's a day at a time. It's a meal at a time. And it's surrender everything a little bit at a time. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your share. Okay, Robin P., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Ronnie B.
Thanks so much for your service, Elaine. I'm Robin P., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Franklin, Tennessee. And, you know, I just was so baffled, and it would just be Russian roulette, and I would think, I've got it. Okay, now I get it. And I've tried everything I could imagine. And I just kept thinking, how did this happen? And I am so grateful for the past 10 years because of vision. You know, it's no longer a conundrum. It's no longer, why did I behave like this? And I just get to keep growing spiritually and working with others in, you know, that mental obsession combined with that physical allergy. I really believe that as long as I turn my will and my life over to the care of God and keep trudging this road with all of you, you know, reaching up and reaching out, I get to stay abstinent and on course. You know, the steps have been such a miracle for me. I'm going through the steps again with my sponsor, and I get to just keep growing spiritually. I get to keep enlarging my spiritual life, as has been said in this book. And I'm about to go to New York on Wednesday for an audition for something. And, you know, I used to be on Broadway for years in my 20s and 30s. I'm now in my 60s. And I thought that career was over. And God kept saying, you don't retire your gift. So sing. And I'll see if that's meant to be. And, you know, to do it abstinently, no matter what, it just show up abstinently. And with God holding my hand and holding all of your hands, and, you know, it feels brave to me right now, but I also know that when I surrender, it's not really brave. It's just turning my will and my life over to the care of God and praying only for knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out. And, you know, I behave so differently. Like this sentence, why does he behave like this? I'm so grateful that I behave so differently today. And if I make a mistake, or when I make a mistake, as it says in step 10, I get to clean it up, you know. And no matter what, no matter what fear, no matter what resentment comes up, I have a solution today. And it's literally a miracle of grace. God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent day, and I pass.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Robin T. God bless you, too. Okay, Ronnie B., you're up next, followed by Brief E. Please share with us, Ronnie.
Yes, thank you. Ronnie B., compulsive overeater in Missouri, with some allergies, so forgive me, I'm doing the best I can. Just kicked up, of course, the minute I unmute. But so first of all, so grateful to be on a meeting, so grateful to still be holding my action, and so grateful I have a sponsor, and we do that 10-step every week, and if not more, I have other people I call, and some of them call back, and some don't, you know, in terms of doing more 10-steps, and that's an area of where I need, I believe, great improvement, at reaching out to others. So sometimes if I tell myself, that area improves. So we'll see. But in terms of today's discussion and reading, the big thing that stood out for me is the mental twist. Certainly about food, no doubt, right? Because in my life, all of my programs in this one, it's about the food, but it's not about the food. So the food has to be put down, and then I deal with everything else, which is day-to-day life. So the mental twist for me in regards to food is, first of all, I don't want all that food I don't eat in my home. So on occasion, people will come over for an event, and they'll bring some of that food with them, which is also okay. And there's another miracle. It's okay because early on I heard that phrase, that's not my food to eat. And so don't take someone else's food. And in this case, anything that's not healthy for me is not my food to eat. So that helps me with the food. In terms of cravings, I don't get very many. And usually they can be squashed pretty quickly because I think the bite through, right? Because the bite might be, oh, wouldn't it be great to have a bite of that? Well, I'll be very honest. I don't think that way. Not because I'm holier than now, but no, the bite does nothing for me but irritate me. I don't want a bite. I want that tray. I want whatever you brought over in that tray to be mine. So like a bite does not interest me on any level, and that's a blessing. But, you know, that said, sometimes I do get that craving for something, and I need to look at myself and say, what is going on? And sometimes there's not a whole lot going on. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm addicted to sugar. I'm addicted to a lot of foods that turn into sugar. And, you know, somebody said early, like, being born with this addiction. I know I was born with addiction. So food for sure. Certainly shopping and spending and alcohol and drugs and people. So it's almost like this whole gamut of addiction for me. And I'm in all those programs, by the way. Was that time?
Just a gentle reminder, yep.
Okay, gentle reminder. And so I just need to know that I am addiction-ridden, but I have a program of action that helps me. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ronnie B. Appreciate your share. Bruce C., you're up next, followed by Luann C.
Okay, thank you, Eileen. This is Bruce. I'm a compulsive overeater recovering in Fort Myers, Florida area, and very, very grateful to be on the call. Let me know if you can't hear me well, and I can go to my phone off my Bluetooth. So, yeah. Pardon? You said okay?
You yeah. sound fine, yeah.
Okay. All right, good deal. Thank you. And, yeah, the why, that's awesome. Wish I didn't have that word in my vocabulary. wish there wasn't that word out there. But because it doesn't matter anymore. It used to be a big deal for me. I used to think, you know, why do I do this? You know, why do I overeat? Why can't I stop eating? Why can't I do this? Why did, you know? And so I went through that. And finally, and somebody said to me, it doesn't matter why. You know, it really doesn't. And I may never know the why. I can give 1,000 reasons why, but I may never know the why. And I heard it this way, too. I heard that when you go into a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a food counselor or somebody like that, they look for the what. I mean, they look for the why. They look for the why. You know, the psychologist, psychiatrist, they look for the why. But in this program, we let go of the why. We think about the what, you know. So what is it that I have to do? To be on a food plan, talk to my sponsor, talk to others, go to meetings, you know, read literature. So that's the what, and the what is more important to me, much, much more important than why. I don't really think much about the why anymore. And that's what's neat about it, is I don't have to go bugging myself about the why. And so that's awesome. And I appreciate this meeting a whole lot. And as far as the willpower goes, I've been successful in business, thank you God, and I'm retired now, and so I can be retired, and that's nice, thank you God for that. And so as far as the willpower goes, I had a lot of it in business. I mean, I was able to exhibit willpower when I was in business, but I never had enough willpower to solve this food problem. I just didn't have the willpower to do that. And I have never had it, you know. I mean, maybe in some areas God gives us enough willpower, but in other areas doesn't give us willpower. But anyway, that's okay, because I'm powerless over food, and I can come in here and share, and I can be abstinent today, which I am. So I appreciate that. So thank you very much for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you for your share, Bruce C. Luann C., you're up next, followed by Sally A.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you. Hey, everybody. Yeah, I'm Luann C. I'm very grateful to be recovered in Boise, Idaho today. I really like this paragraph. Why does she behave like this? If hundreds of experiences have shown her that one cookie means another debacle with all its attendant suffering and humiliation, why does she take that one bite? And I could never really wrap my mind around the importance of the food. You know, I was just like, you know, I don't get it, you know. But I was reading, I found a line in another piece of AA literature that said, one drink started a train of thought that became an obsession, and from then on, we couldn't stop drinking. And that, to me, in recovery, with the awareness that you get around the thinking, around the bite, then I saw, okay, that first bite is a problem. And, you know, because with the awareness I was seeing, you know, that suddenly the thinking started up with the first bite, the justification, how was I going to make it fit on my food plan, the strategizing, and, you know, all this thinking was happening. And then the next step was screw it. And suddenly I was swamped by the obsession. And, you know, then it became about the food again. And, you know, how was I going to get on a diet? Well, how was I going to, you know, and it blotted out the thoughts and emotions that preceded the bite. Suddenly they were lost, and I was in the middle of the obsession again. And, you know, today I'm just so grateful for the 10th steps and this conviction. I've got to do my 10th steps because that's my short circuit. That's my circuit breaker between what's really going on and the thought that the food might be a solution to make me feel better. And, you know, I'm able to address the real problems that I'm having a hard time facing. And so I'm just so grateful, you know, for the whole program. But today, just really focusing on trying to do at least one tenth step a day so that I'm safe. I'm safe and that first bite never even occurs to me. So thank you for letting me share. I hope everybody has a great day and enjoy your freedom. Okay, thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Luann C. Sally A., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Deborah G. Please share with us, Sally.
Thank you so much, Elaine, and everybody else behind the scenes. Oops, I have a little frog in my throat. First of all, everybody's shares were so magnificent. I'm so happy I came to this meeting this morning to get my medicine, because honestly, my vision for you is the very beginning of me making the first, well, certainly prayer and turning to my higher power. But before I do anything, go anywhere, being at a meeting is important. So I have a few thoughts as well about this. We see the word why three times, and I learned while I was in a communication course in school that the why word is shame-based and that therapists never use the why word. Why do you think you did that? Because the word why, it implies shame on you. But the word why also is a question that I have to ask myself. I do have to say to myself, why after 43 years, and honestly, I became abstinent again a year ago, why do I keep not believing that this is true, that I have this? Why do I still question that I have this? Because I always want the half measures. I always want enough to lose all the weight, and then I want to walk away, and I want what I want. The other thought that I had was at bottom of 13 in Bill's story talks about these four essentials that we really have to get well. And the first one is believe in a higher power. And I've always believed in a higher power, but I didn't believe that my higher power would do what he did for me 10 months ago or 11 months ago. But also when I look at the word believe, I think about the fact that I can't believe that I really can't have these things. And it's not just the first bite of sugar and flour and all the other things that I can't have, but it's about the trigger foods that push me up against the wall of those things. I struggled with popcorn and peanut butter and Splenda and diet soda and everything diet out there, always pushing the envelope because I wanted what I wanted, which brings me to the next one, enough willingness. And I got stuck on willingness. You know, I want what I want. I'll do this to lose the weight, and then I will walk into the sunset and have what I want. I'm very, very willful. My sponsor still tells me, wow, you really are so willful. Still trying to negotiate. Do you think I could have this? What if I just have it once a week? I am such a negotiator. My kids tell me often, you should have been a used car salesman, Mom. And then next was humility or humble. It says that we have to be honest. Let me first go to honest on the list of essentials. Oh, thank you. So honest is very important for us. We do have to be honest with ourselves, with God, and with our sponsors. But humility, I'll just end with this. The word humility, they use the word humiliation, but it's related to the word humble, which is the fourth essential. And it is very humiliating to gain 100 pounds in the program. But we have to humble ourselves and come back and say, help me, I need you guys. I really do need you guys. And, of course, I need God. Thank you, Elaine.
Thank you so much. Okay, Deborah G. is up next, and then we're going to take another lineup. We're commenting on page 22, the first paragraph, which begins by, this is by no means a comprehensive picture of the true alcoholic, reading through two paragraphs ending with, he still sometimes displays with respect to other matters. Would you please share with us, Deborah G.?
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Elaine, for your service today and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and I was just remembering when I was actually watching myself, you know, after I had eaten an alcoholic food, you know, watching myself, how my behavior was, and looking for more when that phenomenal craving, looking for more, driving for more, watching myself after I had the food, eating all this food. One part of me saying, oh, this tastes so good. The other part of me is like watching me do it like it's, or like I'm supposed to, I need to do this. You know, so I was like watching my powerlessness in action, but yet I was still doing it, you know, and telling myself and telling others, you know, that, you know, I need to give this up, or I'm not going to do this anymore, or it was the I also saw the insanity, glimpses of the insanity, but you know, a lot of that seeing was fleeting. It was so fleeting that led me to do it again and again and again. My thinking was so off, so distorted, and I wasn't honest. It's funny because I was in other programs and did the work and had recovery, but with this, I just didn't have it. I couldn't stop believing the lie that I was, you know, a compulsive overeater. You know, it's just wild. I didn't see all this until I finally did surrender and do my work. And I'm grateful that I have all of you to keep me reminded, because it's that thinking. It can come up anytime, but I have something today that can help me with that. And that's all of you. And that's that power greater than myself that tried to control it for so long. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We have time for two more shares. Who would like to take it?
CK in California.
CK?
Linda W. Linda W. Las Vegas.
Dana P. Somebody W. Dana in P. Las Vegas. Somebody W. in Las Vegas, I heard first. Who was that?
Linda W.
Linda W.
Linda W.
Okay, I wish we had time for everybody, but I've got CK and Linda W. CK, please share with us.
Peace, family. CK in California. Today is 5:05 for me, and I'm grateful. I'm also a real Bill. In active addiction, Bill drank oceans and oceans of alcohol, and I ate mountains and mountains of food. In recovery, Bill turned his attention away from himself and put the focus on being useful to a higher power. Now, I know I was a real Bill in active addiction, but now being a real Bill in recovery is the purpose of my life. Now, this week, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about why. I've often asked myself questions like, why do I keep trying to fill the hole in my soul with food? Why do I keep thinking that somehow, someday, I'll beat the game and things will be different with my ex? Why do I keep defaulting back to my own unsteady, inconsistent power? There's a million why questions I can spend my life trying to answer, but fuck the why. The obsession with the why is just another distraction that will keep me in active addiction if I let it. Mine is not to reason why. Mine is but to do or die. Two choices, two options. The book tells me I have two alternatives. Work the one and only program of recovery for all addicts on earth, or die. When we talk about death in these rooms, sometimes people might just focus on the physical death. And yes, I guess that makes sense, because I will eventually kill myself if I go back to eating myself into oblivion every day. Or perhaps someone will eventually kill me if I keep being a self-centered asshole. But what about the in-between time before I get to that physical death? What about the repeated mental and emotional deaths I've experienced, sitting in dark rooms, eating and eating? Because that was the best solution I could come up with. I thought I was so alone, so unlovable, so unworthy. I thought I was so unique. I thought the food was going to make me feel better. I thought a relationship was going to make my life better. I don't know about you, but half measures availed me nothing. Food, people, places, jobs, degrees, material things will never give me the level of power I need to address my spiritual malady. using these insufficient substitutes to replace my higher power is like trying to light up Las Vegas using a pack of AAA batteries. Insufficient, ineffective, insane. I need a power greater. I need the type of power that created the sun. The sun is 93 million miles away, but it can charge my solar power, so my solar panel, so I can have a microwave in my van. You know, that's the type of power I'm talking about. That's the only level of power that can help an addict like me. CK in California, y'all. Thanks for letting me share.
So glad you did, CK. Thank you very, very much. And our final share today will be Linda W. in Las Vegas. Please share with us.
Hi, this is Linda W. from Las Vegas. All I can say is God puts me where you're supposed to be, and this paragraph was really where we're supposed to be. Why? It's not about why. It's just doing it and listening to God. This was so important to me today. I want to thank everybody that is there. It was just touched me where I had it touched. But sometimes I'm so obstinate. Is that the word? Not absent, but obstinate. And I just want to do what I want to do, and it doesn't get me anywhere. I just feel I have to have the freedom in that the only solution to be is God, my program, and you. I love you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. You have left us with a ton for a 2-minute share. Burning desire out there? Anyone want to take it? Two minutes. Going once? Going twice? Start one time.
I'll take that, Elaine.
It's all yours.
Danielle, in Colorado.
Go for it, Danielle. Thank you. Please share.
Hi. Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, my fellows. This is Danielle T. in Colorado. Gosh, what a beautiful meeting. Just could so relate to the question about why and who. I mean, today it is about who. It is no longer about the why. I don't need to know. I don't care. I just need to know who I am and who God is, who my higher power is, who has all the power. And I'm just so grateful that, you know, it's no wonder that people wouldn't believe me when I would say, oh yeah, I'm back on this program and I'm doing it. And they'd be like, yeah, right, let's just give her a couple of days. We'll see how long this lasts. They could never rely on anything I said about program and even other things. Today, things are very different, and I do what I say I'm going to do, and I'm accountable, and I have peace, a peaceful life as a result. So grateful for Bill W., these steps, and the recovery that I have today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your poem and your share, everybody.
Excuse me.
We will now, yes.
I'm sorry, Gayla S. and Sally H., where are they from?
I'm sorry, I don't have that information here now. We're going to have to move on here. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Let's see. We will now close with a recording from with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Robin P. please read A Vision for You? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
It's fine. This is Penny L.C.
Oh, thank you, Penny L.C. Thank you, Penny L.C.
Thank
yes,
you.
It is you.
Thank you so much for all of your service, Elaine. Penny L.C., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. We realize our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. admit your faults to him and to your fellows, clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.